the idea of crypto, and I know you've had different views of this. A lot of people think of that as a new investment class that has had an enormous run thus far, but also as a way to mitigate, if you will, against the idea of what the value of cash becomes.
Well, I think it's worth considering all the alternatives to cash and all the alternatives to some of the financial assets. And so Bitcoin is a possibility. Is that a merit? Right. I have a certain amount of money in Bitcoin. It's a small percentage of that which I have in gold, which is a relatively small percentage of what I have in my other asset classes and so on. And I think that that has the merit. It's an amazing accomplishment to have brought it from where that programming occurred to where it is and take the test of time. On the other hand, if it's successful, it's going to not be, the governments don't want to have it successful. You don't want to have
but
an alternative currency.
But we're starting to see governments like El Salvador. I know that's not exactly going to be the leading government on this, but there are governments that may take this on.
But no. You have El Salvador taking on, and you have India and China getting rid of it, and you have the United States talking about how to regulate it, and it could still be controlled. So that's
right.
what it looks
and
like.
Are you
if you're El Salvador and you talk about your alternative monies, you know, it's a different thing.
Do you believe that regulation ultimately will make something like Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies have a future, or do you think regulation will kill it?
Well, I think I think at the end of the day, if it's really successful, they'll kill it, and they'll try to kill it, and I think they will kill it because they have ways of killing it. But that doesn't mean it doesn't have, a place, a value, and so on. But it's one of those things
but
that
if they
has
kill it, it's right now.
It doesn't have intrinsic value. If you put cryptocurrencies or let's say Bitcoin in the historical perspective, right? There are so many things in a historical perspective that were given intrinsic. That didn't have intrinsic value and were have perceived value and then became hot and then they become cold. And so it could be either way. You just have to know what it is, right?
Right.
I mean, like, it could be tulips in Holland, and the intrinsic value. So what is the value? And then there are technological changes. I'm no expert on that. I'm just trying to say that right. You asked me what my opinion is. Take it for what it's worth. I'm no expert on it. I think diversification values, it matters. I suspect the real question that investors should be asking themselves is how much stuff like that do they have? How much stuff do they have? Do they have gold? Okay, should we be talking about how much you have in gold versus how much you have in Bitcoin? And do you have a diversification in those kinds of things that we might call intrinsic value money? Because we have a fiat monetary system, okay? With a fiat monetary system, where is your hard money? That's the question. Right. And however you go after it, I think that's the question to be answered.
Okay, there's two.
Happy Bitcoin Tuesday, freaks. It's your boy, Matt Odell, here for another Citadel Dispatch, the interactive live show about Bitcoin distributed systems, privacy, and open source software. I'm very excited about this particular conversation. This is Citadel Dispatch episode 39. We will be discussing running your own Lightning routing node, and we'll be discussing the PlebNet initiative surrounding that idea of having many sovereign Lightning routing nodes run by sovereign Bitcoiners, sovereign individuals. Before we get started, I just want to do a quick shout out, as always, to the ride or die in the live chat. Love you, freaks. Thank you for joining. You make this show truly special. And a big shout out to all you freaks that support the show and keep it ad-free. The easiest way to do that is the Podcasting 2.0 apps. You go to newpodcastapps.com. Pick a Podcasting 2.0 app, load it up with sats, search Citadel Dispatch, and as you listen to the podcast feed, you stream sats directly to my wallet. It's really fucking cool. You can also support the show via Paynim or Lightning at citadeldispatch.com. My Paynim is easy to remember. it is Odell. With all that said, we have a very tight time limit here, so I want to get right to the meat. It's an important conversation, I'm very excited about it. So with all that said, I'd like to introduce our guests for today. We'll start with Walton. How's it going, Walton?
Hey, what's up? Hey, what's up, guys? My name is Walton.
What's up? What's up, Walton?
I'm a British pleb in Plebner. I've been running a Lightning node for a number of months now. I've been in the top 100 of global node runners by ranking. And it's all thanks to the community of Plebner, which is this kind of strange social learning experiment almost, with now over 4,000 members with over 800 node runners. It's fast growing and it's a very exciting time.
I love it. Thank you, Walton. We also have P joining us. How's it going, P?
It's going fantastic. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear you okay. You sound great.
Amazing. Yeah, I think many of you already know me. I'm over at Bitcoin Magazine. But Plebnet has been this amazing experience. A bunch of us got together and wanted to learn how to run Lightning routing nodes. And then we decided to turn it into this like larger community so that we could share in the knowledge and teach everybody else. And it's been fucking great.
And then thank you, P. And last but not least, we got Raj Winder here. What's going on?
Hey, Matt. Thanks for having me on the show. Very happy to be here with my buddies, P and Walton, to represent Plebnet and Lightning, talk about Lightning and Bitcoin in general. I am from the Silicon Valley grind of making silicon chips, but also been interested in Bitcoin and was caught up in the activity, the primordial soup on Clubhouse and in Telegram groups where Plebnet emerged. And I'm happy to see it take on a life of its own and become an amazing community.
Love it. Love it. A lot of the freaks here, a lot of the audience understand the importance of running your own Lightning routing node and why we need individuals to do so rather than just a bunch of large KYC companies. It seems to me, so Plebnet is a really interesting project. It kind of wasn't on my radar I felt like I was a little bit late to it. Do you guys want to talk a little bit about like what did Plebnet originate on Clubhouse?
It's a great question. Raj Winder actually coined the term, but the origins of it are somewhat murky. There was a group of probably 20 or so Bitcoiners very interested in Lightning who did meet in part on Clubhouse. And we're exploring various things in a chat group, namely things like LNTX bot, sending sats to each other in Telegram. Raj.
Yeah. So, you already mentioned one of the big factors that was behind bringing us together, which is the LNTX bot, Telegram bot that can send sats back and forth in custodial Lightning in Telegram messages. So we were playing with that. We were onboarding a lot of people to Lightning because that was a much easier route because so many people use Telegram compared with the number of people who use Lightning wallets. So that was one big factor. And also on Clubhouse, we were just talking Bitcoin. Bitcoin was in a pretty big rally upwards at that time. So there was a lot of enthusiasm and interest on Clubhouse. And on Clubhouse, we also found these two or three individuals I really want to give credit to, which is JC Crown, Cortic, and another guy named CJ Lightning Sats. We don't know his real name, but that's the personality on Clubhouse and on Twitter that he has, CJ Lightning Sats. And also there was Dread. He would come in and go once in a while. So these guys were running nodes, and we were very curious, like, okay, what does it take to run a node? And thankfully, I want to also give credit to Umbral and Raspberry Blitz. So we just grabbed those kind of off-the-shelf Lightning implementations, grabbed some hardware. You know, Walton, he have Raspberry Pis. I have a ThinkPad, which is like 9 years old. And we got our nodes up and running. And we started with tiny channels, but before long, we were like, no, we gotta do real business. So, you know, here we are.
I want to give Raj a little bit more credit. You know, basically Raj and D++, who's also kind of early on in the crew, created a sort of a Lightning node focused Telegram group. And Raj has been in there consistently for the last, like, I don't know, man, what, like 4, 5, 6 months, just like answering questions over and over and over again. His dedication is incredible. And then it actually wasn't until, like, I don't know, like I have to look at the exact date, but like May or maybe April that I kind of started getting interested. And then there are these...
I joined early May.
Yeah, yeah. And the beauty of Plugnet is it's kind of, there's been these different communities that have kind of forked off. So there was like this amazing one that Raj and D++ had started that was focused on LNTX bot. And then there were a couple that forked off that. And then Plugnet was one where basically about 20 of us kind of got together and we're like, oh my gosh, like this is a really, really important thing to support others in adopting, and also just to make it clear that like anyone can do this. And we all kind of, you know, dove in and created the Telegram group and have just been going from there. And I think what are we up to now, Roger?
Now there's kind of culture shifting off it as well. Like I created one club with Miguel called Plebnet Poker, and we play poker on a Lightning Network app, you know, regularly. It's been at least
which
weekly.
Lightning Network app do you use?
We use lightning-poker.com. Shout out Evo. He's an awesome developer that actually created us our own little private table. So we use.
So, you know, so the general idea here of Plebnet is let's get a bunch of sovereign Bitcoiners, a bunch of individual Bitcoiners, plebs around the world to run their own Lightning routing node from home. And then the way Lightning Network works is basically you need liquidity throughout the network. So you need channels between these nodes. And Plebnet is kind of a coordination of getting people to not only run their nodes, but then connect into the greater Plebnet liquidity pool. Is that a good summary?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, there were a couple Telegram groups, or many, let's say several, before kind of the Plebnet group started. But they were fairly specific and were like highly technical. And, you know, Plebnet was all of us really learning together and figuring out the best way to approach this. And the really amazing thing is that, you know, I started, you know, earlier on kind of chatting with Severin, who has built lnrouter.app, which is an amazing set of tools, you know, LN Node Insight, the creator of that, even like Alex Bosworth. And it was a really surreal experience for all of us to kind of reach out to some of these people and ask these questions and sort of be told like, well, you know, no one's really asked that question before. And so it really quickly became clear that there was this really important need for not only the highly technical conversations, but also for onboarding people and for teaching, you know, everyone and random plebs, like, how easy it was to set up a sovereign routing node. And so, you know, if you're using Lightning, there are multiple ways to interact with Lightning, right? If you're just interested in being able to send Bitcoin, you know, sound money, essentially feelessly, or, you know, very low fees, and, you know, as close to instant as matters, you can go download, you know, Moon Wallet or Breeze Wallet or any other number of Lightning or wallets that support Lightning and be able to do that. And you don't have to know any of the complicated stuff. And that's amazing. And that's built on top of the backs of these routing nodes that you know, the larger Lightning Network has been running. And so we're all trying to contribute to, basically the infrastructure of the Lightning Network, because we care deeply about it and we care deeply about Bitcoin and we want to educate people as we go forward.
I just want to add to what P said, which kind of goes back to your question, Matt, that the community aspect is actually really important, because before Plebnet came along, you didn't have a community where you kind of had some degree of trust with others. to be able to, you know, make channels and so on. But we all knew one another from Clubhouse and Twitter and Telegram groups. And if someone started up a new node and, you know, wanted to build some channels, they didn't have to buy a liquidity from another provider. They could just come into the community and say, hey, I got 10 million sats. I want to open a couple of channels, or I want to open three channels. Who's willing to open the channels with me? And in Plebnet, we had enough trust that we took the risk to the degree that we have a certain way of opening a balanced channel called the Gato submarine swap, in which, you know, you open the channel and then you balance it, and then you get reimbursed for half the money that you put in the channel. And that reimbursement is a trust issue. And in Plebnet, we have never had that trust violated, and people have been able to come in comfortably, join. And we also put up a couple of test nodes where even if you don't want to put much money on your new Lightning node, you can just open a tiny channel and we'll get you on the network and you can learn.
So when you're talking about these Gato submarine swaps, you mean basically the person with the outbound liquidity pays a Lightning payment, and then the other person just sends back on chain in a trusted fashion, right?
Correct. So exactly. If
like the most basic rebalance. Yeah.
Right. You and I open a 10 million sat channel. I put up the money. I send 5 million to your side and you send me 5 million on chain.
Right. So what? Yeah, I do that a lot for freaks who ask out for liquidity. So when I first started trying to understand the Lightning network, I quickly realized the need that we needed Tor-only sovereign routing nodes. So what I did was, you know, the way I like to learn is to just go head first into things. I just started up a node. I told all the freaks my public key. And I was like, if you open a channel with me, I will open a channel back. And it was a really horrible idea. I found out afterwards that for routing, like you only want one channel between a peer really to be ideal. And I became like this massive central hub. Like if my node went down, just like the whole Freaks mini network went down with it. So then I discovered Rings of Fire, which is a really cool project where they set up via Telegram like these. You have 10 people all open a channel to one of the other people. And then a Ring of Fire rebalances it. You do a circular rebalance where everyone's channels get split in liquidity, because if you just, most of the freaks should know this, but if you just open a channel to someone, you can only send money, you can't receive yet. So you need to balance out that liquidity. Is Rings of Fire related to Plebnet at all? Like, what's the connection there?
No.
Is there a connection?
It predates Plebnet. It's a very good community which has done a good job in its own way. But Plebnet is, by the way, Matt, don't feel too bad. We were also opening bidirectional channels before we said, screw it. We know each other. I know P. I know he's not my money. So I'm just going to open the channel and do a Gato submarine swap. So, Rings of Fire is a lot more complicated. And if one person decides to, shut down their node or close a channel, it leads to some complications. Plebnet is a node to node. There is very few triangles or anything that people are making. You can make them, but it's just really individual to individual node.
Well, they happen naturally.
Yeah, for sure.
When I went into the Telegram group, and unfortunately I was the 3,999th member, so I didn't get to be the 4,000th member. But when I joined, I saw the cheese robot there, which is a Telegram bot that Rings of Fire guys used as well. Did you borrow that bot from them?
No. So actually the cheese robot has been built by, I never know how to pronounce his name, but basically it's a separate tool. I don't know if it was built specifically for Ring of Fire. It wouldn't surprise me if it was, but anyone can actually add cheese robot and start, you know, creating these awesome visuals of everyone that they're connected to within a specific Telegram channel. But you know, I think Ring of Fire was a super important, and still is, I would argue, is a super important way to create strong connections throughout the Lightning Network, right? It's really, really important for bootstrapping the Lightning Network, as is Plebnet. But I think, you know, Ring of Fire is, the idea is that basically, you know, it's like, if we were going to create like a ring, you know, it would be like, I would open a channel to Walton. Walton would open a channel to Raj. Raj would open a channel to you, Odell, and then you would open a channel back to me. And then there's a specific script that you run that then goes in and and rebalances to create, you know, sort of balanced liquidity across both channels. And for the audience, in case you're not aware, you know, with Lightning, again, if you're just trying to use Lightning, you don't have to worry about the routing node stuff we're talking about, right? This is about running a sovereign routing node. But if you are trying to run a routing node, then, you know, you want to make sure that you are keeping, on average, your channels somewhat balanced, because you want people to be able to route bi-directionally through you. And we talk about routing, what we're really talking about is you don't need to have a direct channel connection to anyone in the Lightning network. You actually can just sort of ping pong payments through this spider web of, you know, sovereign routing nodes in order to get your payment successfully sent. And so,
So Cheese Robot was actually kind of instrumental in us recognizing that, okay, we have become a network. So the developer's name is Cloak de Kaskok. I think it's a South African name. We were, you know, once we set up our nodes, there was one particular night we were just going crazy opening channels with one another. And then somebody, you know, had brought in Cheese Robot before that. And we were just looking at the network evolving. That's when we realized that, okay, this is a real thing happening. And, you know, that's kind of one of the factors that aided us in realizing what we were becoming early on.
I mean, the Cheese Robot is really fucking cool. Like, that is, so just for the people, there's some people probably confused. The main aspect of Cheese Robot is that you link your public key to your Telegram handle. Public key of your node. So it knows your Lightning node and it knows your Telegram handle, and then it graphs things for you basically and tells you how everyone's connected.
Yeah, and that's super important because, you know, it's great to run a Lightning routing node to support, you know, Bitcoin, to support Lightning, but really kind of the fun is in these communities that develop. And I think what's going to happen in the near future is, you know, just like PlebNet was this grassroots group that we all just kind of got together and you know, we were all in Clubhouse and, you know, started talking about it more. And I started, you know, talking about it in Bitcoin Magazine, Clubhouse rooms and stuff. That's going to happen all over the world. What's going to happen is basically smaller communities are like Bitcoin Beach are going to basically spin up. And there's going to be these groups that then build out these incredibly strong networks between themselves, open channels, have robust channels, communicate amongst each other. Like, you know, the number of, when my node goes down, like my internet, you know, got, you know, shit the bed or like yesterday, and like 10 people messaged me and was like, yo, your node is down. And they were like, oh, is everything okay? Like, is your node fucked or whatever? And like those kinds of communities are so important. And that's really what PlebNet is. It's just this smaller community that then connects to the larger Lightning network and has all these really strong channels that are robust. And it's an interesting model for Lightning adoption all over the world among different communities. We've been talking with like Black Bitcoin billionaires, and you know, they're spinning that, you know, they've spun up a Lightning you know, kind of community, and then they're connected to PlebNet. They're also connected, of course, to the larger Lightning community, but it's pretty powerful stuff.
I'm not sure how to quantify a privacy benefit to being able to pay through these kind of more trusted hops that are going through Tor-only routing nodes run by individuals before it gets to the greater network, because some privacy attacks on Lightning involve basically surveilling the hops. So if you have a bunch of hops beforehand, just a thought that I wanted to bring up real quick. But So what you're kind of talking about here is this interesting phenomenon that we've seen early on in the Lightning network, this idea of basically ideologically minded people running routing nodes to kind of bootstrap the network. But ideally, or I don't even know if ideally is the right word, but by design, the main incentive to run a routing node is for financial gain, for fees. Do you guys focus on that at all, or is it purely ideological right now?
I'm happy to jump in, but I want to give Raj or Walton.
Raj, what's your opinion on this?
I think in, you know, I think of this as what websites were circa 93, 94, 95. You know, it was hard to set up your website, but if you learned the technology, you actually had a really good advantage in the e-commerce explosion that took place. And I think we are in the same place right now. You're not going to be a profitable node right immediately because the size of the pie is not very big. We are all fighting for the same routing fees, but it's going to grow massively. I have no doubt about that. And those who get in early will have the experience and the motivation and the sort of the cultural knowledge and connections to succeed. So that's the way I look at people who are serious about joining the Lightning Network and those who have become serious now.
Raj, do you not think that, like, longer term, it'll be hard for a sovereign routing node to compete with, you know, some of these more, you know, like professional doxed clearnet ones?
That depends on what happens in other aspects of Bitcoin universe. If privacy and, you know, remaining undoxed becomes super important, then I think these sovereign nodes will be really critical. If it is not a big deal for most people and governments sort of acquiesce and you know, learn to live with Bitcoin, maybe it won't be a big deal and commercial entities will be you know, more popular and sovereign individuals will probably become more of a fringe then. But you know, that's Bitcoin takeover, and I think you know, the downsides are not as dire as they are in the fiat world or with the total surveillance with the CBDCs, for example. So I think we just have to wait and see how it plays out. But yes, I can imagine a scenario in which sovereign nodes run by individuals are going to be really important if we go to a tooth and nail fight.
One thing I'll say is I think that I think that there will always be a place for sovereign Lightning nodes. I think that there is not a significant amount of profit to be made at this moment, though like my node is currently profitable. I know there's a number of, you know, of...
Is it actually profitable?
I'm profitable if with regards to that I've paid off and made profit. Opening and closing costs, not necessarily broken even with or gone past it with regards to hardware, but I don't know anyone that has, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, I have, but what I will say is, like, you know, like, my time is valuable. I have certainly lost money based on the amount of time that I put into this, but I actually consider that a very valuable investment. You know, I would not currently have the position that I do at Bitcoin Magazine if not for the investment of time and energy and personal resources that I put into you know, the Lightning Network and Bitcoin in general. So but what I will say is, like, if you remove all of the value of my time, then I am profitable by like dozens of dollars, you know, which is nothing, obviously. And if you add it back in my time, then it's like, okay, well, you're still at a loss.
Again, like, we're looking at that wrong because it's earning sats in a way that is non-custodial. It's not comparable to kind of earning in dollars, right? Like, this is, you're earning the most precious asset there ever was.
But you're not earning much.
Much greater.
I think it's important. You know, like, we see, like, Alex Bosworth, like, he tweets out, you know, I just made, you know, $25 bajillion on running my Lightning node. That the average pleb right now should not be going into it expecting to make any kind of profit. You should
They can be making tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of sats a week. It is possible.
Well, That is true, and it's possible, but I think it is important to Matt's point to basically make it clear, like, if you're running a routing node because you want to be earning significant, you know, quote unquote interest, on your sats, that's not the right way to be approaching it right now.
Correct.
I personally believe that having a routing node with a longstanding history and, you know, and balancing your channels and shit is going to be in the near future. And by near, I mean, you know, 3 to 1 to 5 years, let's say, is going to turn out to be extremely valuable from a monetary perspective, from a Bitcoin perspective, but it is absolutely not there yet. And the people that are contributing to this in Plednet and in the Lightning Network at large, you know, there's basically large entities that are, that there is a business reason for them using Plednet, in that it's like, you know, instant settlement, very low fees, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And there's people like all of us and in Plednet who are basically like, we are very passionate about this technology. We're willing to spend our time because we understand that the value of this knowledge and the value of this network, and by network, I mean the Lightning Network, is so large that, you know, we're willing to break even or even lose, you know, tens of dollars in the short term, because in the medium term and the long term, we expect the Lightning Network to be, you know, kind of the foundation of a lot of things, in the same way that TCP/IP protocol is for the internet.
Right. So right now you can earn about 2 to 3% yield per year on Bitcoin that you stake on your Lightning node. But again, you know, to make a living in the Western countries, let's say in Silicon Valley, I can't live off of a Lightning node unless I'm putting up tons of Bitcoin, and the size of the pie grows quite a bit too. So, you know, we're looking at Lightning payments being adopted by many, many more people, which is going to happen. It hasn't happened yet, but even now, if you are a serious node operator, you can get 2 to 3% yield, which is nothing to laugh at, because it is
an it's non-custodial, right? It's yield in a non-custodial way.
Exactly, exactly. So, you know, if you have a really low cost of living and a lot of Bitcoin available to put up a, you know, bunch of fat channels, you can make good money. But again, you know, the size of the pie is going to increase. That's the part that I am really focused on, because that means the scaling is going to happen and many more people are going to make serious money and supply the infrastructure of the, you know, internet of money, which is what Lightning is really.
Walton or Raj, do you have any like tips for freaks who might be struggling to get any kind of real fee revenue to up there?
Yeah, the number one thing that they should do is they should go to Erin Malone's Twitter and check her pinned thread. It's an absolute blast. She then wrote an article, I think, was it for Bitcoin Magazine, P? On this, essentially the same thing, but with a bit more depth. Erin is the queen of fee mastery. And she's very willing to speak to people, you know, once they're already set up on Plednet. Just to remind people, if they want to find their way to the greatest Bitcoin community, all they need to do is go to kycjelly.com. That's kycjelly.com. Thank you, Adam, speaking.
So, thank you. So I retweeted Erin's thread about how she became profitable in a few weeks, and you know, her sort of main secrets of the trade. But if you are a node operator and you're not getting any routing, first thing you want to do is make sure you have a good, substantial liquidity channels. I'm talking about 5 to 10 million sats with some of the big nodes. Connect to some of the big nodes in Plebnet. If you go to the terminal.lightning.engineering website, which is maintained by Lightning Labs, you can see some of the top nodes. And there is another tool that you can use for improving your centrality to the network. And the guy who made the tool is, his name is Gridflare, Gridflare. So he has a website, actually. I'm going to tweet it out shortly. So if you go to Gridflare's website, you can put in your pub key and it'll do the calculation based on the current network status and tell you what are the top nodes that you should be connecting to. So out of those top recommendations, you pick the commercially important ones. And I think with three or four channels of 5 to 10 million sats, you should start seeing a good amount of activity within a few days.
I think one thing I want to just jump in and say is I think one of the most the most amazing things to me about PlebNet is that, you know, this community kind of, we created this community, and even for people who are, like, Gridflare's tools, which are incredible, are kind of have grown out of the interaction of people on PlebNet, right? And trying to understand it. And like, you know, lnrouter.app and LNNode Insight, like those are all tools that have benefited massively from this community. And so I think it's important to acknowledge that not only are we seeing this incredibly, this valuable benefit for people who are interested in taking control of their own financial freedom, being financially sovereign, running Lightning routing nodes, but for Lightning developers as well, there is a huge benefit to, you know, joining these types of communities.
It's like the world's best alpha, or probably world's best alpha group with regards to kind of testing the newest stuff on Lightning and helping it iterate. And it's fantastic because that actually generates more alpha for the for the people running their Lightning nodes.
And the Lightning Network too, though. You know, I mean, that's the amazing thing. I mean, the thing, you know, I talk about this a lot, but like the most exciting thing to me about Bitcoin, honestly, and Lightning is the incentives, right? Like, you know, no one is better than their incentives. And it's easy. And so the thing for me is that in a Lightning Network, I mean, it's like playing this real-time strategy game that is the most exciting real-time strategy game that I've ever played, right? You know, StarCraft, whatever other game you're interested in, like this is more interesting because we're talking about the soundest money that has ever existed. We're talking about real sats every day. And so and we're all basically, we're friends, we've got this community, we're willing to give up alpha, quote unquote, in a way that to benefit the larger Bitcoin network via Lightning, that I just haven't seen anywhere else. I mean, most of the time when you try to ask for advice on some of this stuff, you know, previously before PlebNet, it was very kind of like, well, I don't really want to give you the deets because, you know, that would cut into my profits. But in PlebNet, we all understand that what benefits us as individuals benefits the community and helps us grow.
Right, and Gridflare's website for optimizing your channel decisions is gridflare.xyz.
That's in reference to centrality, right? This idea that you're well connected to the greater Lightning Network. But there's another step there, I think, at least from my basic understanding of maximizing routing fees, which is basically like trying to situate yourself as like kind of like a gateway node, where either on one side or the other, the only real way to get to the node, the other nodes, is through your channels. Because if you can hit like a merchant, like if you find a merchant or an exchange that's really hot that has Lightning deposits or Lightning payments, and you're one of the only ones providing them inbound, and you're well connected to the rest of the network, then all of a sudden you can raise your fees and people are forced to pay them, right?
Yes.
Go ahead, Raj.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you know, you can opportunistically identify these kind of situations and become a sort of sit in the catbird seat and collect some good fees. But, you know, it's a dynamic situation. More people will come and compete with you, and you just got to stay on your game and keep finding those opportunities.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, initially, like, you know, Aaron and I and a couple others, we created like a super node, right, where we basically set all of our fees between ourselves. We had this sort of like pentagram configuration to zero, and we were like, all right, this is going to be great. And you know, it was interesting at first, but the reality was, that is to say, we could rebalance between ourselves for zero fees, right? And then, you know, people like Dredd and Marshall, who had significant liquidity, they were able to basically create these huge Wombo channels to these major economic nodes in the network. But the reality was, surprisingly to me, that actually wasn't the most viable strategy. the most viable strategy was to educate. Initially, there was a lot of payments that were routed through us, right? But the beauty of the Lightning Network is that when you educate people, the incentives are such that every single node as an individual, or every single number of nodes that are controlled by an individual, are incentivized to figure out the sort of dark corners of the Lightning Network that they can open channels to provide the type of liquidity you're talking about, Matt. And we ended up like spinning down this like, you know, the supernode that we had, which was like four or five of us, you know, because it just, it was more viable to actually educate everyone else on the factors that are involved and then create that liquidity so that we were all kind of benefiting. And I think, you know, this is interesting. Like, I think it's pretty clear to me, it's clear to me that basically, that Lightning Pool, you know, for a long time, they have really struggled to get enough liquidity. So Lightning Pool is a lending marketplace where basically you can go in and you can make offers. It's really fucking cool. You can make offers. It's by Lightning Labs to, you know, to basically offer up liquidity for Lightning channels on a time-based basis, or you can buy liquidity from them. And for a long time, like Pool was the largest black hole. They were a vampire node in Bitcoin. Like if you opened a channel to them, it didn't matter what you set your fees to, as long as
you say Pool or Loop.
I'm sorry. Loop. You are absolutely correct. Lightning Loop. They would basically...
Mine suddenly got active again recently, and they closed on me while I wasn't paying attention because I hadn't reconnected TMUX after Umbrel update.
Well, the interesting thing, though, is that they basically were in a situation until very recently where they had to basically... They had to be... So Lightning Loop is a kind of... They send payments out to individuals constantly. And so... they need to have a constant source of inbound Lightning liquidity in order to maintain their economic advantage. So they created this service, Lightning Pool, which allows people to, it creates a marketplace for Lightning liquidity. And it's really cool, right? If you have extra liquidity, you can basically put it up in this marketplace and then earn additional, fee or, you know, additional fees on top of what you'd get as a routing node. And they did that because there was an economic incentive for them to do so. And for a long time, you know, we would all sort of joke around because we would connect to Lightning Loop and then they would, doesn't matter what your fee was, it could be 5,000 fee rate or whatever you want. And they would basically drain you dry because they needed it so badly. And it's incredibly bullish to me for the Lightning Network that that is gone now, right? There are enough people who are competing for, who are trying to create a market for competitive fees connected to the Loop service that, you know, the fees are much, much lower. And they tweeted out recently, like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Like, we finally reached a situation where we're actually in a competitive market. And I think a large part of that is because of PlebNet and because of the shared knowledge there.
Do you think part of it is because on-chain fees are nothing right now?
Well,
absolutely. Absolutely. But I also think that if you look back at when on-chain fees were really high and when they dropped, that did correlate pretty strongly with the increase in liquidity of the Lightning Network.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, low on-chain fees are the most amazing environment for learning how to run a sovereign writing node.
Markets is the point. They are competing markets, and so there will be some interdependencies.
Especially when it comes to liquidity, right? Because one of the main costs for providing liquidity is your open and close. I mean, one of the reasons why my node is so fucking far away from profitability is because I didn't have the liberty of learning in a low fee environment.
Yeah, I mean, I did some really stupid things. I got my super high time preference and opened one channel with paying over 100 sats per VB. It's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting. Now I do all mine one or two, like maybe. Like it's, yeah, you get really tough. But yeah, now is the time to be opening channels, guys, while the fees are low. Because in the future, if on-chain fees go really high, you actually, you know, may not be able to transact on-chain. And therefore, you'll need to transact on Lightning. And if you don't have your own Lightning channels, then you're going to be having to resort to using some sort of custodial service, which will likely come with additional cost. So get a Lightning node up and running, because you're actually staking your place on, you know, the payments network of the future.
Yep. Get it going while we are still in the bond zone. The bond zone is when a lot of half filled, you know, partially empty blocks are getting mined, and the fees are super low. One sat per V-byte, it's not going to last for very long.
Yeah.
How long is it going to last, Raj? I famously got pie on my face because I felt the fee FOMO pretty hard, and I did not expect to get one sat per bytes clearing, you know, next block like we did this summer.
Well, that's because of some big jump in SegWit adoption, right, by some economic nodes, and that's why we have the low fees. But as Bitcoin adoption increases, that's going to go away. There is no second chance again now. So SegWit got us some breathing room. Maybe in a year, you will not see this kind of situation again. So the bond zone last on and off for a year maybe, and I'm expecting that in a year it's history, one set per V-byte.
So Raj, you know, this is a topic that I'm really interested in. I mean, as you can see, every dispatch I got the live look at mempool.space up on the screen. Do you think one of the things I've been thinking about lately is that Lightning kind of acts like a release valve. So we might not see sustained high fees as soon as we would have if Lightning didn't exist, because when fees go up substantially, users have a direct incentive to pay less fees to try and figure out how to use Lightning. And then they go, a bunch of new users get onboarded to Lightning as a result. And then the fee pressure dies down on chain, and then rinse and repeat. So we get like these like blow off fee tops rather than like a sustained high fee environment.
Yeah, but Matt, at some point, we're going to hit a point where there is so many Lightning channels themselves being opened and closed, which are on-chain transactions, that could become a significant part of the on-chain traffic, right? So, you know, as the Lightning pie grows, it is going to create much more congestion on the main chain. So the fees are going to go up eventually. And there will be a point beyond which Lightning network is so big that it is generating a continuous demand for on-chain transactions, and you know, I'm thinking of when so much more of the real world's small payment commerce moves onto the Lightning network, and there's going to be a lot more nodes, and the nodes that do exist now will have a lot more channels. They will be opening and closing channels. You know, balancing channels is not always the best option, and it's also frustrating unless you have some real emission taking care of it, and closing channel and opening a new one is always a good option. So that's going to become part of the overall dynamic moving forward. Will it happen in 6 months, a year, 2 years? I don't know. But eventually, when the internet of money has become big enough on the second layer, on-chain transactions for sustaining that network are going to be significant amount of traffic.
I mean, I agree. I just think Lightning delayed that. It pushed it back, right?
Yes, you're right. It did push it back. I think in a way it's actually good, because while the block subsidy is still pretty high, we have more people getting used to doing Bitcoin transactions, opening channels, closing channels at very low cost. I think it's the plus side of that situation.
I think like one of the interesting phenomenons I saw with this latest high fee event, I mean, we had high fees for 4 months, 5 months. I mean, someone, we have Mooch in the comments asking if he's saying fees are designed to pump forever. During that fee market, I said it many times. I still believe it. I just think it's a long-term kind of trend. I kind of forgot where I was going there, but
I think
the phenomenon that we witnessed with that. So the high fees, this was the first time we had high fees and we had Lightning, because the last high fees we really had was during the 2017 block size wars. And there was probably a lot of spam that was happening to make it happen. And there's some theories that I I don't necessarily think are unlikely. Like it could have been the case that, you know, Chinese miners were pulling hash strategically to try and keep the fee environment high. But what was interesting, this being the first high fee environment with Lightning, is you saw a lot of people interested in basically Lightning Lite wallets during the high fees because they didn't have to open an actual channel. But then after the fees went down, then they started learning about running their own routing node because then they had to open channels. So they kind of went the routes of, and a lot of times custodial wallets where they didn't even have to touch an open channel at all. And they waited. So Raj, you got to go?
Yeah, I got to go. Sorry, guys. I have a kind of a hard deadline at the hour. So thanks again for having me, Matt. I really appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you for coming on. Hope to have you again on soon. And I look forward to participating in PlebNet more.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
So to all the other freaks, me, P, and Walton are going to continue for another 25 minutes or so. If you have any questions, put them in the live chat through Twitter, Twitch, or YouTube, and we will get to them. Pete, did you notice that same phenomenon, right? Where like people were like interested in Lightning, but they weren't necessarily interested in running their routing nodes as much until fees dropped again.
Yeah, I mean, I think I definitely noticed that. The thing that's so amazing to me about like PlebNet is that it actually created this community where people were interested in learning how to run their own sovereign Lightning nodes, even in a higher fee environment. And I think that the thing that I really took away from that experience is like, oh man, like this is a game, like, or rather it can be a game. It can be a really fun strategic game, right? Like Aaron, Walton, Raj, KP, a bunch of us who were like doing this, like, you know, we were literally like, we had these Telegram groups where you would just be messaging back and forth constantly, like, oh shit, like this node is will pay you high fees. This one will drain you. I guess my point is, the community and the exciting kind of like real-time strategy game aspect of Lightning is something that I didn't realize existed and has created a really compelling reason for people to start learning how to run these systems. Now, it is absolutely the case that when the fees went low, it created an environment where people could learn this stuff in a way that was extremely economically viable. But I actually think that these types of communities are the thing that really drives adoption.
But I agree. I mean, that's one of the reasons I spend so much time in the education space and and helping people and talking to other Bitcoiners. But the thing about Lightning operators is when you have way lower time preference for your on-chain transactions, right? So like,
for sure.
You can wait for a 1 sat per byte or 2 sat per byte to confirm. So you do, it does provide a reserve, reserve transaction demand on like kind of like the bottom of the mempool wait list.
Totally.
You want to call it that. But it'll take longer for that to be a reason for fee pressure.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely agree. I mean, I have personally never been first of all, I will say running a Lightning routing node, I have made more on-chain transactions than I ever have in the entire history of my involvement in Bitcoin, which is since like 2016, right? And I think that's really fucking cool. And I'm glad to be able to participate in that. But you're absolutely right. Like, you know, like Ben Prentice and I like opened a channel I convinced him to open a channel to me. And he was like, yeah, man, I sent it with like, you know, two sats per V-byte. So it's probably not going to open until the weekend. And I was like, that's cool, man. Like these channels are just, you know, we're throwing channels around. And like that type of approach. And this is like a significant amount of like locking up a significant amount of liquidity. I personally wouldn't have had that low time preference if not for my confidence in the Lightning network. So I agree with you.
Right. So one of the things you mentioned previously there was like kind of people on PlebNet taking advantage of maybe lazy competing routing nodes, or not maybe just not sophisticated node operators who allowed you to make more fees on them. Do you think, and that's great because, I mean, that's exactly what we want. We want like this adversarial incentive-based network where people are just working for their own best interests, and as a result, everyone gets better liquidity. But do you think that, have you thought at all about, you know, the fact that like Lightning, it kind of feels like Lightning hasn't really had its adversarial moment yet. Like, I mean, obviously we have people like you guys on PlebNet that are doing it, and there's probably some vultures out there that are you know, making a decent amount of money doing similar things. But I feel like it hasn't really stood the test of attacks yet. Would you agree on that?
I would. I think that the Lightning Network, I mean, we talk about things like Circuit Breaker, right? So there are these potential vulnerabilities in the Lightning Network. You know, and I think, you know, it's very interesting, the recent attacks that have happened with, you know, with El Salvador, or rather, they seem to be related to El Salvador, but there were recent attacks on the major Lightning routing nodes that were kind of like DDoS attacks. And it's not a coincidence. I personally feel like those are almost certainly, you know, government sponsored attacks. And I think we're moving into a much more adversarial world in the Lightning Network. And I think that is fantastic, right? And the fact that like a bunch of us kind of early on had this cabal, which sounds really nefarious, but basically it was literally like people were opening channels in PlebNet, and then there was a lack of liquidity to these large channels. And then people that had this high liquidity were like, well, I have the Bitcoin to put up. I can be basically a battery node of liquidity in this low fee environment, right? I can open these large channels and then basically provide liquidity in the future when fees go up. And then they did go up briefly. And it was a really wonderful thing for me to see that for all of us, right? Like we dissolved that super node, because the reality was for each of us, by supporting the larger Lightning Network, that is to say, educating everyone about the dynamics involved, that was the thing that created more liquidity and more routing fees for all of us. And that's an amazing thing. Like it's an incredible thing when you are participating in a system and a community where the way to benefit yourself selfishly is to improve the alpha of everyone involved. Like that's just,
once again, the incentives are just beautiful, right? It's the, an individual should act selfishly essentially, and that's a good thing, because it means that the market is more competitive, and it means that you know, we actually do have a free market that is the fee market on the Lightning Network.
Yeah, so that kind of blew my mind. Go ahead, Ben.
One of the things you brought up explicitly in the beginning, but you keep alluding to, and it's something that I've noticed as a long-term Lightning operator as well, is this idea of the value of like a reputation, that you've been around for a while, that you have good liquidity, that you have good uptime.
I know, it's weird.
That your channels are fat, and they've been around for a long time.
Girthy, please.
But as a result, there's some privacy considerations to keep in mind in terms of the UTXOs you link to that node, and that node being, I mean, at the very least, linked to you on Telegram.
100%.
Is this something you guys consider at all? Because, I mean, it's one of the major issues I have, is like I have this, you know, super old, well-connected Lightning node, and then I have, you know, another undisclosed amount that aren't attached to me. But I feel like if I want to do privacy best practices, I really should be recycling them, you know, starting fresh, getting rid of them, starting fresh on a timed basis, you know, after a certain amount of time. But it goes against this idea of long-term reputation.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really tough, right? Like the reason that, you know, Walton mentioned the kind of the original URL for the Telegram group we have is was kycjelly.com, right? And that was because we all
Twitter is also at kycjelly.
There you go. And the reason that was the case is because we thought it was hilarious that, you know, we all spend so much time talking about maintaining financial, you know, serenity and maintaining good OPSEC and not doxing yourself. And, you know, on Clubhouse, where a lot of us kind of, you know, got super involved in PlebNet, you know, like, I mean, for me personally, anytime anybody would mention a number, I'd be like, shut the fuck up. Like, do not mention any number of US dollars. Do not mention any number of Bitcoin. Do not talk about where you live or any of that shit. And then as soon as, you know, we started engaging the Lightning Network, we were like, yo, how many sats you got in this channel? Yo, you want a 5 million sat channel, 10 million sat channel? Here's my live, here's my node address. Like, and so we thought it was funny that basically we had kind of reverted almost and been willing to dox ourselves in order to support the Lightning Network. And so I do think that is a very significant issue. And I think it will continue to be an issue as we go forward. And, you know, there's services like amboss.space and other, you know, and 1ML was another kind of example of this, though they've been, in my opinion, super 100% superseded by amboss.space, that basically allow one to track on the long-term history of a node and view the channel and view the channel closures and things like that. And Fiat Jaff has some tools that have been really instrumental for me in tracking on this thing as well. But I think it is, they are at odds. They are in conflict. And I think that it does create a real challenge. And the only thing I'll say is that I am willing to dox myself a little bit or a lot of bit for in order to support the Lightning Network and my own ability to create, to get inbound liquidity and to give up, you know, outbound liquidity. But there are a lot of people who have, you know, understandably been like, you know what, I want to support PlebNet, but I'm not willing to basically dox my node by connecting it to Cheese Robot. So I'm happy to open channels with people, but I am not interested in linking up my node explicitly with my Telegram handle. My node is a random string of characters, and people connect to it because they can look at the history of that node independent of my personal reputation and see that I maintain good channels with low fees or with reasonable fees going forward. So I think we're going to move into a world where it is more anonymous and people can basically decide on whether they want to connect to a node based on just, you know, the history of their actions.
I think you could, there's one way that you can have reputation without, and that's some of these, you know, ranking sites like terminal.lightning.engineering. Like, you can just go on there and, you know, pick a top node and see what, you know, see what matters to be counted as a top node, which is things like having a high proportion of peers that route through you, centrality, your stability / uptime is also very, very important. You know, and if you connect to one of these top nodes, or rather if you become one of these top nodes, you will receive unrequested girth.
So Walton, were you aware of what happened with so right now I've pulled up on amboss.space this citadeldispatch.com node. I don't know who runs it, but it is a node that exists on the network. And this is all the information you can see about a node from just having their pub key. You can see their public capacity. What a lot of people don't realize is that total capacity doesn't mean how much is on that node. It counts inbound as well, which is technically not your Bitcoin. So that number is inflated, but I would say that a lot of people that look at it will assume that it's the top end number. And then it also shows the number of channels, your age of channels, your youngest channel, a bunch of different stats. Now, terminal.lightning.engineering is a slightly different interface. And what their strategy is to kind of rank nodes. But the ranking system is not open source, and it's very, very kind of opaque on how they decide to rate nodes.
Agreed.
I don't know if you noticed, but maybe like 4 months ago or 5 months ago, they added this feature on terminal.lightning.engineering. And it told me that this node didn't have any good peers. And I was like, they're calling all the freaks bad peers. And I tweeted it out. And then like 3 days later, all of a sudden it said I had good peers and I had a high boss score. And then they, and then dude, at some point over the last I went month from... or so, they took it away from me. And now I have no good peers. Well, I don't know whose node this is. This node has no good peers and is not centrally located at all, even though it's got 223 fucking channels.
It does jump like crazy. I was ranked something like 150, and then my node went down for like 10 hours, and then it jumped into, you know, 3,000 or whatever. And then the next day it went back like 99 or something. I'm like, how did the ranking improve having me being down? Didn't make any sense, but maybe it's other, I don't know how it works, but no one knows how it works other than Latin Labs. Reveal your secrets.
Yeah, I mean, it's totally arbitrary, right? I think that to your point, Matt, like these types of rankings, right? Like Alex Bosworth, you know, who runs like yalls.org and, you know, works at Lightning Labs, he basically created the boss score as a way for him to personally decide which nodes he was interested in connecting to. And he was early enough that everybody was like, well, we don't know what the fuck we're doing. Like Alex Bosworth is a fucking genius. Like he probably knows better than we do. And so like that became kind of the de facto measurement. And then Lightning Labs was like, all right, we got to like, you know, spin up something new that provides a little bit more insight. And they did so. But to your point, like it is totally arbitrary, right? And they're pretty...
We need better reputation systems. Exactly. We don't have them yet.
Exactly. 100%. And
one of my fears is like a lot of these reputation systems, and I assume the boss... score does as well, which by the way stands for balance of Satoshis. It doesn't stand for the first three letters of his name, last name.
Yeah, but did he not name it that for the second? We'll never know, will we?
How dare you?
We'll never know. It's up in the air.
We say you did it like a boss instead of like a boss.
I love it. One of the main aspects that it seems to be measuring is like this uptime and connectivity kind of scoring, which is always going to benefit the ClearNet nodes over people 100%. Running through Tor, because Tor is, you know, the best we have, but is an unreliable piece of shit a lot of times.
Yep, exactly.
And has its own issues with denial of service attacks and stuff. So I don't want us to, I think we both need better reputation systems, but we also need to be very actively aware that those reputation systems, or at least some reputation systems, should kind of ignore that, or at least just focus on Tor only nodes to be relevant to like a sovereign router.
For sure. And I think these types of systems like are being built out, right? Like the, you know, like LN, I know I mentioned it a bunch, but like, you know, LN node insight, like lets you do simulated channels, right? So you can basically be like, how would my centrality by various metrics change if I was to open a channel or remove a channel from this specific node? And centrality is only one tiny part of like running It is one aspect of running a successful Lightning node, right? But it's not the end all be all. And right now, centrality, I would argue, in the network is artificially inflated. People are constantly seeking centrality.
I don't think it's a huge thing, though. You mean as in you think it's less important than some people think, or you mean it's more important? Yeah, I agree. It's less important. My node is not very central. I route quite a lot. It's not super important.
Yeah. So I think, I mean, my point is like all of the systems, including like Lightning Labs, and
it doesn't get overranked. It doesn't go overranked. You don't need to have a high centrality to get a high ranking on terminal.lightning.engineering.
Fuck their rankings.
Yeah, exactly. The point is, like, fuck their rankings. Like, we all kind of joke about having, like, a PlebNet rank. But the point is, I want to see more tools. And, you know, they're being developed. And, you know, like Walton mentioned, you know, there are these sort of independent GitHub repos that allow you to rank your own node and figure out how to improve your own nodes. And, you know, not even centrality, though that's one metric. Based on other factors. And I think what's going to happen is we're going to see more and more and more of those independent analysis tools develop, and people will come up with their own metrics for what is a good node to connect to. And there are, these tools already exist in some sense, right? There's, what is it called? It's like LN, it's not LN balance. I can look it up if anybody's interested. DM me on Twitter or something. But basically, like, it has all these other algorithms, like, okay, so it'll do like historic payments that are routed through you to basically insert your, to allow you to insert your node as a kind of middleman between existing nodes, and those kinds of things. And, you know, how many nodes have like three hops away from you, and then you can optimize that. So I think these types of metrics are going to be super important, and there will be more and more independent tools that allow plebs who are interested in running routing nodes to more effectively position themselves in the network.
But in the meantime, they should go to the PlebNet Telegram. They should go to the Rings of Fire Telegram. KYCJelly.com and increase their liquidity, or at least learn and maybe start fresh with a new node after they learn.
100%.
As someone who is very passionate about privacy and very much believes in its importance, would you go as far as saying it's either Tor or have fun staying poor?
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone should be, well, individuals should only use Tor-only routing nodes, and I mean, Tor-only nodes, period. And if you are, I think I would go as far as saying that anything that any on-chain transaction that goes into your node should be a CoinJoin output, and any UTXO that leaves your node should then go through CoinJoin. Because I, especially if this routing node gets linked to you, which is going to get linked to you at some point, especially if you're trying to run it long-term, that on-chain footprint is there, and you leak a lot of information. You basically have to assume that every UTXO that you fund a Lightning node with is connected to each other. It's like you combine them.
Yeah, 100%.
Which is like a really dangerous situation to be in. So I struggle with that. You know, as someone who's been reckless with the amount of UTXOs that have gone into my nodes, I'm probably more vulnerable to it than a lot of people. So it hits close to home. And I'm hoping that we have better tools in that regard. Like, it'd be really cool if we had a tool that was just, you know, CoinJoin and Lightning built in, and you could. But right now, you kind of have to go through steps. So take your time, learn, and just be humble enough to realize that you can always improve, I think, is the big things.
But you should always be trying to improve. I think that applies to security as well.
100%. So I know both of you guys have a little bit of a time crunch here, so I think now's a good time to wrap it up. I really enjoyed this conversation. Should we end with some final thoughts? We'll start with P.
Yeah, man, absolutely. Thanks for having us. This was awesome. I think that the biggest thing for me, my final thoughts are, everyone should be willing to experiment with these technologies. You know, I think that, you know, do not fall into the trap of trusting the narratives that are being presented to you, not only, of course, by, you know, existing media systems, which are total bullshit, but also just like from people as individuals. Like, do your own research, experiment with these technologies, and find your own way. I think that's really, really important. You know, don't take anything for granted. Confirm it yourself. Play with the Lightning Network. Explore these technologies. Become sovereign.
Thank you, P. Walton, final thoughts.
If you believe in sovereignty, which I'm assuming you do, given that you're a Bitcoiner, there's nothing that you must do more than run your own node. It enables multiple things, right? You're going to have Bitcoin Core, which will enable you to verify your own transactions, something that, you know, we should all be doing. And just, you know, just having a node running Bitcoin Core doesn't actually help you. Yes, it's you know, it's helping the network in that it enables other nodes to download blocks from it, but you're not actually benefiting yourself. But if you check your own transactions, you are. Now, the second one, and this is perhaps more important, is it gives you that foothold on the Lightning Network. Now, the Lightning Network is what's really going to enable medium of exchange of Bitcoin in the future. It's instantaneous. It's at very low cost. And as P said, now is the time to be getting your Lightning node up and running, opening channels while on-chain fees are low, and staking your spot on the payments network of the future. And if you want to run a node, all you need to do, if you want to learn more, no matter what background you're from, no matter what your prior knowledge or understanding, all you need to do is go to kycjelly.com. That's kycjelly.com.
Thank you, Walton. And I would just add on top of there that, you know, don't count on fees staying low for much longer. I mean, who knows? I've gotten it wrong a bunch, but I have a feeling we're going to be complaining about high on-chain fees soon enough. I know this is a little bit out of order. I just had you guys do your final thoughts, but if we finish up this show and someone still has this question, we need to answer it. We have Disco Toshi in the comments saying, what is the proper procedure for connecting your Lightning node to others within the Plebnet Telegram once you join?
Walton, try and reach out to people. There's usually a few people saying, oh, I want to open a channel. But if you've already got a couple of channels open and you are a serious node runner, DM me and I'll invite you to this another group we have of node runners that has a slightly more focused conversation. The main Plebnet group now with over 4,000 people is a kind of a community group first, or rather it's evolved into the kind of community group. But there are other Plebnet communities that are more focused. If you're struggling to match up with some people looking for a girthing partner.
Walton, do you know off the top of your head what percentage of the Lightning Network Plebnet now represents?
Let me just consult my stats. My statistician prepared some for me earlier, actually. Yes, they said, so we have 4,030 plebs, 806 nodes, and the combined inbound and outbound liquidity of Plebnet is 734 Bitcoin, which is, I believe, approximately a third of the total public Lightning Network.
That's amazing.
Do you guys, does the Plebnet guys have, like, you guys have private channels between each other too, or just public?
Almost exclusively public. I don't personally have any private channels.
If we told you, they wouldn't be private. You know better.
Oh, he's got you there, man. He's got you there.
Just for the freaks, you can't publicly route through private channels. That's what they're, because they're private. They're not broadcast.
Yeah. So like exchanges, things like that will have private channels in order to, you know, protect their
liquidity, but malicious actors can probe you to try and figure out what your private channel capacity is. Anyway, guys, this has been a great conversation. I'm sorry we had to cut it off short, but I hope to have both of you on sometime soon in the future. Thank you for joining us. Thank you to the freaks who joined us in the live chat through Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube. As always, this will be posted to Bitcoin TV after we finish and to both podcast feeds. Thank you to all the freaks who continue to support the show. It's truly beautiful, and I do appreciate all your support. Thanks, P. Thanks, Walton.
Absolutely, man. Anytime.
Thank you.
Cheers. Love you, freaks. Thank you for joining for another Bitcoin Tuesday. Our rabbit hole recap this week, instead of being Thursday, will be tomorrow. So stay tuned for that. And there will be no dispatch next Bitcoin Tuesday, but there will be one after that. We'll be back to our normal schedule. I love you all. Thank you for supporting the show. Thank you for listening. Stay humble and stack sats.